You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You know what game I used to like when I was a kid back on Nintendo?
Yes.
Back in the day? Double Dribble.
Double Dribble was a good game.
Great game.
Double Dribble was a good game. I would always be the, like, what was it, the frogs that were, like, supposed to be the Celtics?
Yes.
I think there were some green frogs or something. Elk and Elk, serious lawyers for serious injuries. Call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. In the Dog Bowl in Berea, 216-578-0850. Jonathan in Orlando. Jonathan, you waited yesterday, I think, for like 48 minutes, but we didn't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, 48 minutes. No worries. I actually, I was waiting, getting physical therapy done on my foot, and they called me. And the second they called me in, I'm like, you know what? I guarantee you they would have called me next. And then
and sure enough,
back to the radio, and sure enough. But anyway, the reason that I was calling yesterday, I mean, you touched on a lot of them. But the big thing that I wanted to talk about was, like, all the negativity from all the callers who call in about, oh, my gosh, Manziel's awful, and we should have kept Hoyer. And okay, Hoyer's biggest attribute was that he didn't lose games. That's what everyone talked about the entire time. We have Hoyer in there because Hoyer doesn't lose games. And then it got in a stretch where Hoyer lost tons and tons of games. So he didn't serve his purpose, and we had to see what we had in Johnny. And I agree with you guys 100%. We ran an offense that we didn't practice at all year. We just kind of, like, threw Manziel in there and was like, oh, you guys tried this for 3 days. Let's see what happens against the Bengals defense. Why not? So that was point number one. And then point two after this whole story came out is, like, what is Jason Locke Confer thinking? Yeah, I just bought this team for $1 billion and renovated the stadium, two phases, switched out the uniforms, redid the logos, got my people in place, but this team potentially is opening up in a state that I grew up in, so now we're just going to play sloppies? Like, who does that? No respectable business person, I know.
And yes. Also, too, is you have to, if you look at the organizations without analyzing what they're worth from a value standpoint, and I think Jimmy Haslam's been very adamant since he took over as the owner here that he's about winning football games. And I know that we're drafting at 12, and one team's drafting at 2 and has as big a question mark at quarterback as we do, right? So I'm going to take a team that won 7 games last year and a team that's trending upward with some free agent acquisitions and 10 draft picks. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. This is not happening. Again, it's not happening. The connecting of the dots, it's saying that, you know, he's from Tennessee. That was his dream job. It's just not happening. Hiram in Cleveland. What's up, Hiram?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to let you know I'm going to be a frequent caller because I'm enjoying this.
Good, man.
I just wanted to make a comment about the quarterback position. Then, you know, next time I call, I'll talk about what they should do in the draft. Nathan and Matt, it makes absolutely zero sense to take a quarterback at any time in this draft. Let me tell you why.
Go ahead.
This is a deep enough draft where if you take a third round, fourth round pick, I can get a starter at that position with that pick. I can get an offensive guard, a pass rusher. I can get a starting linebacker. I can get anything with a fourth round pick in this draft because it's deep enough to that point. You already have two, and I do emphasize two rookies essentially on this roster that you need to find out what they can do. Taking another quarterback who will at best be a third string quarterback who won't see the field over a starter is ludicrous. It doesn't make any sense. Let's find out what we have first, and then if you want to address the position because you're not satisfied, that makes sense, but not until we find out what Johnny can do, because you also have to think about snaps and playing time, so forth and so on, and nobody's going to be satisfied.
I think that you make a good point. I think unless you got a guy that you thought was the answer, you know, you don't take one. Now, maybe you think in the third, fourth round you get a Garrett Grayson and a Bryce Petty if that's the way they want to go, but what Hiram is saying is don't do that, and it is interesting because Ray Farmer was talking yesterday, and he said, we clearly don't have the guy that's going to be our guy for the next 25 years as the starter, fixing his role, playing that position right now. It doesn't mean he's not on our team. It means he's not entrenched in that role right now. To build a football team, I think that's the focus. Build your team. When you find the guy you can insert at that position, then you find him. I think when you look at the history of the league, people want to focus on the immediacy and relevancy of now. I say historically the teams that have found a way to be successful over time is because they had a good football team, not because they necessarily had a great individual quarterback. Now, that's the quote from Ray Farmer. I disagree with it.
I know you do.
You have to have a good quarterback.
You do.
I don't care how good the rest of your team is if you don't have a good quarterback.
Because I think, and your point is, with a good football team, you will get to a certain level and you will hit a wall.
And whether that the Bengals.
Be, whether, yeah, exactly. Whether that be the first round of the playoffs, whether that be on the cusp of the playoffs, whether that be the championship rounds. In most cases, the reason why you're an underdog going into those, having won six games in a row to close your season out, you run into a juggernaut like Tom Brady, like Peyton Manning in the NFC, like Aaron Rodgers, and so on and so forth, or a Ben Roethlisberger playing, you know, playing the way he can play at the right time. You have that marquee guy that just makes the throws that basically it becomes that wall that you can't conquer regardless of how good of a football team if you have adequate to above average quarterback play.
I understand building team. That's why I think what Hiram says is going to happen. I don't see this team taking a late quarterback. The stats analytics do not support taking late round quarterbacks. It just doesn't typically pan out. But I think you can get, if you build your team that way, you get an average quarterback, Andy Dalton, 0-4 in the playoffs. He gets you to the playoffs. That's great. That's fun. Listen, we would take getting to the playoffs here. Let's not kid ourselves. But you've got to go ahead and win in the playoffs. And to do that, I think, and to win a Super Bowl, you need to be probably in the top half of the league in quarterbacks at a minimum, probably top 12 in the league. You have a chance to actually win a Super Bowl.
Yes, correct.
You know, Flacco, to me, is probably of the recent quarterbacks, probably the worst, but he's still pretty good and had one of the best playoff runs of all time.
Yep.
But you can build that team, but your sole focus should be finding that franchise quarterback at all times.
Sure.
That should be the only focus of any organization.
And
what I take
from Ray Farmer's comments is that because there is not that quarterback accessible to the Cleveland Browns right now, either via free agency, via trade that's actually on the block and a viable option, and or through the draft, he's going to use every asset possible, which is that $50 million via free agency, and sign guys as we have, and then use our assets to build a complete team so that when that option is out there and available, whether it's free agency, draft, or trade, we are in a position to add that piece and see us bolster ourselves, you know, through the roof and be a division winner and a playoff team for the next 4 years.
Let's build it. Let's get there. All right, when we come back, senior staff writer from ClevelandBrowns.com, Andrew Gribble, will be with us. Talk about all the things going on at ClevelandBrowns.com, his take on what he heard from Ray Farmer and Mike Penn. But before we do that, let's get Don in Cleveland on quickly. Don, welcome to the show.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good, bro. How are you?
Good, thank you. Yes, I want to agree with Hiram. I've heard this guy speak before. He's pretty knowledgeable. And I totally concur with what he says about the quarterback situation. I am not a big Johnny Manziel fan. That being said, I think you need to give the man a little bit more time if he comes in and does what he's supposed to
sure.
earn that right. Okay, I continue to believe, you know, if you can't get one of those three big wide receivers coming out, and somebody like a Danny Shelton is there, or another offensive lineman, I would not be. I think you just keep building that way. All right, you're building a. You've got a much stronger running game than you had last year at this time.
Yes.
You have a much stronger wide receiving core than you had last year.
Yes,
at this
yes
time.
Significantly.
Let's take Josh Gordon out of the picture.
He is.
You know, all this talk, and then with the quarterback. You know, I keep hearing about McCown. Yes, he's not the end all be all. He's not the final answer. Okay, he's the bridge guy. And from what I'm hearing, when I don't listen to the media, know-nothings that never played football, I listen to the people that are, you know, the comments made about people that are either GMs or people that have played before. For whatever reason, Josh McCown was kind of highly sought after.
He was the top free agent quarterback this year, yes.
Yeah. I mean, didn't we compete with four teams to get him?
Correct.
All right. Is he the end all? No.
No.
But he's the best we got right now.
Yep.
And then finally, okay, once again, Jason Lacombardi, okay, just screams for a crap article. I cannot even believe that anybody's even talking about that. Some of these talk shows, so, they're so desperate that they're going to keep talking about this garbage.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, thank you for the time, gentlemen.
You got it.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
A great call. And I think he makes some very good, very objective points. The wide receivers are ahead of where they were last year. The running backs are ahead of where they were last year. The line is back with Alex Mack returning. Quarterback play in the eyes of talent evaluators in the National Football League. And again, this is independent from many people that we've heard. This is not our opinion. Josh McCown was viewed as a much better quarterback option than Brian Hoyer. So you're upgraded there. Your running game is better. Your receivers are better. Tight end, you still have a hole there with Jordan Cameron leaving, but you need to find a guy who's a pass catcher. And by the way, the team still functioned fairly well without Jordan Cameron last year for long stretches because he was injured so much. Defensively, on the D-line, you're getting John Hughes back. You're getting Armani Bryant back.
Phil Taylor back.
You're getting Phil Taylor back. You've signed Randy Starks, who I think is definitely an upgrade over Ataba Rubin and where Ataba Rubin was at last year. 100%
agree.
Linebacking core right now, you basically return your starters. You don't have Jabal Sheard. That's why I think another edge rusher has to be a priority, and that's why I'm starting to think that it's likely the Browns' two first-round picks involved, maybe a Danny Shelton if he's there, and if he's not, maybe one of the big three receivers, but I think an edge rusher is going to be an early priority for this Cleveland Browns team to replace Jabal Sheard and give somebody else to get after the quarterback, because eventually, you know, Paul Kruger's time is going to come to an end with the Browns. And then secondary-wise, Tremont Williams is viewed as a better corner than Buster Skrine year to year. The difference is he's 32, Buster is 26. You're paying him a little bit more. But I think for the next year, which he basically signed really what amounts to a 1 to 2 year contract, that they think it's an upgrade there. And now you still have these 10 picks. So things are looking good for this team. You still need that quarterback. And yes, Josh McCown, not the answer per se, but I think you could certainly see them look at the line as the music chimes in, like the Oscars, say we're done. The Gribs, up next here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
It's the hardest thing for me to do, and it's it. It's the most important part that relationships will go through.